Hello, hello, and welcome to Pish Posh with Lindsay Wilson, a podcast about prioritizing passion. Each week, we cover topics in the personal development space, including things like money, finance, business, entrepreneurship, mindset, and seriously, whatever else I'm feeling extra passionate about that week. These conversations are meant to encourage you to prioritize your passion. Welcome to the party. I'm so glad you're here. Let's get into it. Hello, hello, and welcome to another episode of Pish Posh Podcast. This will actually be a special episode because it is the last reading recap mid-year book freakout episode that will be on this platform. So I will be talking about, in this episode, the books that I read in April, May, and June of 2021. So if you've listened to these episodes before, it's a quick reading recap. I want to tell you about the books that I read, just kind of not so much the plot and explaining it, but just kind of a little tease into what they are. And then you can see if you want to read them too. And if you have read them, you can see if my thoughts on the book kind of match up with yours. There might be spoilers, there might not be. Once I get into talking about the book, I will say spoiler alert if I have to. But really, I just love talking about what I'm reading. I consume a lot of content. I consume a lot of podcasts. Watching TV shows, YouTube, but I love reading. And I think that reading can really be a community kind of activity, even though we do it on our own. So I wanted this to be kind of a connection piece. That's why I started doing these podcasts. And I was always looking for book recommendations, and I actually get a lot of book recommendations from podcasts, not exclusively reading podcasts either, just podcasts. People talk about a book they read, they really enjoyed it, I go and read it. So I wanted to talk about the books that I have read in the past 3 months. It was 10 books, so I think that's a really good number. That's kind of nice. And then I will also be transitioning any of the book talk into a new podcast. So if you like the book talk, you can subscribe to that one. If you don't like the book talk, then you just stay subscribed to regular Pish Posh Pod, and you'll keep getting the good stuff that we do over there, and you won't have to see all the book stuff or hear all the book talk anymore. So it's kind of exciting, a little bit of separation there. I've seen a lot of success separating some of my other things, like my food Instagram account, keeping that completely separate, really niching down with this, I think will be good as well, because then people who want to know about the books will be in that book space, and the people who don't want to won't be there. So just trying to not annoy people, trying to give the people what they want, and then kind of just make some more book friends. So I'm really excited about starting that new venture and seeing how that goes with really being more specific on the book side. And this episode, if you really like this episode, then you'll definitely want to join in on the Instagram page and the podcast for Pish Posh Pages. So I'm excited, and I will you'll kind of get a little snippet, a little sneak peek into what those episodes will look like. What I'm planning on doing for that will be one book per episode, and these episodes will come sporadically. So it would come when I finish a book, so along with my reading schedule. So it won't be every week, it won't be anything on a particular monthly, weekly, yearly schedule even. It will just be when I finish a book, I will quickly give my thoughts on it. I'm picturing like 10 minutes, 15 minute podcast episodes, something really quick, unless I have a guest on, and then we do some talking together about the book. But I really enjoy hearing people's thoughts on books, especially ones that I've read, or if I'm looking for new recommendations. I've listened to, probably 2 or 3 years worth of book podcasts that would come out weekly when I've only read a small fraction of the books that they're actually talking about. I just enjoy hearing people talk about books. I especially enjoy it when I have read the book and I can see like what my thoughts are versus what their thoughts are. But I have also listened to book podcasts and then read the book months later and kind of then gone back and listened to that podcast episode again. But kind of hearing the thoughts from other people is just really fun. It's a kind of a community thing rather than reading being so singular and alone. And so I'm just really excited about that. I think I've said excited like 4 times, so I'm going to try to not say that anymore. So here we go. I am going to get into the 10 books that I read in the second quarter of 2021. Holy moly. I am glad that I am still keeping up with the reading. It was a little harder in the second quarter. I kind of hit a little bit of a slump, but I am back. 10 books in 3 months is pretty good for me, so I'm happy about it. So all 10 of these books were actually read on my Kindle. If anyone was wondering, you know, how do I prefer reading books? I prefer the Kindle actually because I can take it with me everywhere, and also I sometimes read on the desktop computer, and so the Kindle app is just great for that. You can use that Kindle app even if you don't have a hard Kindle. And geez, guys, the Kindle is the best investment ever. If you don't have one yet and you like reading, I know I love a hard copy book as well, paperback, smelling the pages, but a Kindle, the convenience, it's so great. It's the best thing Amazon has ever done, and the only thing that I am just full bore, like, I love Amazon for that reason. All the other stuff, not the biggest fan of Amazon, but the Kindle, it just trumps everything else. So I read all of these books on my Kindle or on the Kindle app on the desktop. And actually all 10 of these books also, I got them all from the Pierce County Library. Yes, so they're all free. So reading can be free. It can be just, this is just so awesome, guys. I'm just so excited about using the library, the Libby app. So Pierce County Library, which is over here, Tacoma, Gig Harbor area, they use Libby, and it also goes with this thing called Overdrive. It's a little confusing to set up at the very beginning, but once you do it, it is the greatest thing for reading. Free books, it's the best. I mean, I used to love going to the library even when I was in elementary school, but all through high school, I just loved going to the library. I'd be one of those people that would go in and come out with like a stack of 10 books, and you know, most of them were Gossip Girl at the time, but I just loved reading. I'm so glad I got back into this, and I'm excited to share what I read. So the first book that I read, some of the things I kind of want to share when I'm telling you guys about the books is just obviously the information, the title, genre, author, a little bit about that. And also I like to mention how I found this book or why I picked it out. And then I wanted to talk about, you know, my thoughts, takeaways. I do have a rating sheet, a spreadsheet for my books. I will be putting the spreadsheet out, I think, on Etsy for people to download for $7-$8 maybe, because I think it's so convenient, but you can totally make your own. And so that's kind of just a quick preview into what we're going to talk about. And if you've listened to these before, you already know, but I wanted to share a little bit extra. So the first book that I read in April, I guess, since it's April, May, and June for quarter two of the year, was called When No One Is Watching by Alyssa Cole. It was fiction. It was a thriller. You guys can't see me, but I'm doing thriller in air quotes. It was not very thrilling. I really wanted to like this book, and it was generally about gentrification, and that was a really interesting piece of the book. It was, I guess, a majority of the book being about gentrification of a neighborhood. And I've definitely heard about gentrification. I've learned a little bit about it, but this book really goes in depth and you kind of see the effects that gentrification has on an individual, on a family, who are being pushed out of these neighborhoods. So if you have not learned, or you don't feel like you have a good idea about what gentrification is, or if you think it's fake, it's definitely not fake, but some people think that, I would definitely recommend reading this book because it really explains it very well. But for a thriller, I thought it was gonna be a little bit more thrilling, a little bit more whodunit. It is a mystery, there's people dying, but it was just kind of weird. It dragged on a little bit, but I just kept wanting it to get better, and I didn't see it getting better. But the gentrification piece was, I keep saying it's a piece, but it was really almost the entire thing. So that part was, I mean, if you want to read a book about gentrification, read this book. If you want to read something that's like thriller, like edge of your seat, this is not the one. There was some mystery in there. There was some good character development, but I found myself just not liking the main character very much until the very end. And so that's kind of rough when you just keep trying to, maybe they'll get better, maybe I'll like them more. But maybe that was the point. I don't know. It was okay. I hate starting out with a book that I feel like I didn't really connect with, because people start listening to the podcast and like, geez, like, I thought you were going to talk about things that you liked. But I also am just always giving my honest opinion. So on my scale, I never really rate anything really low, but I gave this one a 6.5 out of 10. It just was not my favorite. I read a lot of thrillers, and this one just did not keep me going, like, on the edge of my seat. The next one is probably going to take some time to talk about. So here we go. The next book I read was called A Little Life by Anya Yan. Her name is really tough. It's Yanagihara. Anya Yanagihara. I hate butchering names, but that one is a really tough one. Okay, so this book was recommended from one of the book podcasts I listen to called The Redheads. One of the four girls that is on that podcast, she said it's one of her favorite books of all time. And it's a beast of a book. It is 722 pages long of dark character development. Not evil, just dark, depressing shit. And I really learned a lot more about this book while I was reading, so I think this would be a good one to have maybe somebody else in your life read it as well, or if you know, or if you want to talk to me about it, because I saw on this Facebook page for this book podcast, I'll talk about the book in a second, but on the Facebook page for this book podcast where somebody said this was their favorite book, it was not featured on the podcast, somebody just mentioned it, and then a bunch of people who listened to this podcast also read the book and were kind of discussing it as you do on Facebook groups. Somebody asked, should I read this? Is it more plot-driven or character-driven? And I feel like a bad book reader because I never really even think about that. Like, which one do I prefer more? Apparently, I think I prefer plot-driven more. At first glance, that's what I would say anyways. But I really just think I like reading. I don't really split it up too much into that area. But this is definitely a character-driven book. So you're just reading very much about the different characters. It's about, okay, now I'll talk about the actual book. So it's about four friends, and they're all, it starts and they're all young men in college, and then it goes through their whole life, literally their whole life until they die. And then it goes flashbacks to when they were young too. So you learn everything about at least one of the characters. You learn basically everything about them. It's really mostly about these two best friends along with their two other friends. Two are the main focus, but it is about the group of four friends as a whole. It was so powerful. I read a lot of stories that are nonfiction, memoirs, stuff like that. And so when I read a book that's character driven and it's fiction, it's hard for me to keep remembering that it's fiction. And I found that especially true with this book, because I just kept thinking, like, why would somebody write all this without it being true? Because it was so dark. If you do not want to read things that are dark, I'd say don't read this book. This is definitely not your style. A content warning, it involves sexual assault, abuse, domestic violence, all of these things, and it is just a tough read to get through. But I am so happy that I read it. It's just a powerful book. You really understand the value of being grateful and appreciation for your family and your friends and just your life that you have. And it is just, it's so powerful. There's not much I can really even talk about it when it covers literally their entire lives and it's so dark, but that's really all I can say. The other thing that's kind of interesting for me is I mostly read books that are, I would say most of the books I read have a female main character, and this was about 4 young men into adulthood. So that was very different for me. It was a fantastic book. I think I would love to talk with somebody on this upcoming book podcast about this book where that we do allow spoilers. I don't want to spoil anything with this one because if you're going to read it, you got to read it yourself. I'm not going to tell you what happens, but it is just powerful. I'm usually better at describing these things, but these first 2 books are tough to describe. Like I said, it's a beast. 722 pages of taxing emotional heartache in a book. If you want to read books that make you feel something, that bring something out of you, that are just so emotional, heart-wrenching, this is the one for you. Okay. The next book, very popular, very, very popular, Untamed by Glennon Doyle. So if you like books, if you like personal development books, you've seen this one around. It's the one with the most beautiful cover, really. It has like paint, pink and blue and sparkly paint. Glennon Doyle. I have not read any of her other books before, and I have heard a lot of good things about this book. I wanted to read it because I love personal development books. I love memoirs, and this is kind of a mix of both. Honestly, this book, the most interesting part about the whole book was not about Glennon Doyle. It was about her wife, in my opinion. I guess I should have said that at the beginning. Everything is my opinion, obviously, for all of these books. You wanted to hear my opinion? Here it is. So this book is so popular. I get skeptical about any book where everyone acts like it's the greatest book of all time. Because the greatest book of all time is so personal. It's the best book ever to you. And especially with memoirs or personal development, it's very, you know, certain things apply to certain people. The story of Glennon Doyle, spoiler, she was married and she discovered, and she was a Christian woman. She wrote about being a Christian woman. That was kind of part of her career, writing books for Christian women. That was her whole identity. She kind of discovered that she was meant to be in love with a woman. She saw her future wife, Abby Wambach, and she fell in love almost instantly, and she ended up leaving her husband, falling in love, taking a chance, marrying a woman, and raising her family, raising her children in this new dynamic. And so this book is about really discovering herself and also her advice on raising children, raising young girls, raising children, I guess, of male or female, to be themselves fully, and for women to unleash the things that are holding them back and live as themselves fully. I read a lot of books like this, so maybe the message is just a little lost on me because it gets redundant. And there was definitely pieces of this book that, I wouldn't say they got political, but it was preachy. Not political, but preachy. And Glennon, it was a great book. It's fine. It's fine. It's not, it didn't hang the moon. And maybe I'm extra critical because people love it so much. And so I'm just trying to play devil's advocate maybe. But everything that I loved about this book was things that Glennon said that her wife told her or were teaching her, or how her wife was, lessons her life was, her, gosh, her wife was teaching to the children, or habits that she did. I need to read Abby's book next because she also has a book, Wolfpack. So that will be one of the books I'm going to read this year for sure. But it was fine. If I say this with almost all the personal development books I've read, if you've never read a personal development book before, this is a good one to read. If you have read them before, it'll probably be a little redundant. But it's part personal development. It's a lot of memoir. And then the preachy piece of it just got a little annoying to me. The whole worldwide aspect of this was just, it was, that part was weird to me. I thought this was a very, it was meant to be an internal book, like help yourself get out of your own way. And then there was aspects about teaching your children about the whole world. Another thing, I don't have kids, so that's another piece that maybe I didn't connect as much with it, but it was good. What did I rate it? I rated it a 7.5. Obviously a good, like, it's a good book. There's a reason everybody likes it so much, but if you, I don't know. I think everyone has to have their own thoughts on this one. I don't know what else to say. I knew people are not going to like my thoughts on this. It was good. I would say it was fine, but it was better than fine. It was good. The next book was just so much better that I read, and so much more important, and just, but it's not a competition, but this book, hands down, like, I was just so happy to have read it. The next book, Uncomfortable Conversations with a Black Man by Emmanuel Acho. Emmanuel, he has the YouTube series, Uncomfortable Conversations with a Black Man. If you haven't seen it, go watch it. He has great people come and talk and have these uncomfortable conversations, something that I just really, I really enjoyed. I really learned from it. I really felt empathy from both sides whenever these conversations were being had. He talked to Matthew McConaughey. He talked to Chip and Joanna Gaines. He talked to Lindsay Vonn and her husband, and then Rachel Lindsay and Brian Abasolo from The Bachelor. So he's just amazing. He's a great speaker. And he was famous before, but he gained a lot of traction during the resurgence of the Black Lives Matter movement this past summer. And his book came out and these series came out, and I just enjoy him so much. This book was it was so good. It was so good. It was so helpful. It was so, I'm trying to think of the perfect word to describe this, and I had it right after I was reading it. I just kept feeling it as I was reading it. I don't think it is an empathetic book because it's welcoming. It is meant for white people to read. I think all white people need to read this book because it was so welcoming and wanting to connect and learn and grow and educational. It taught me so much that I didn't know, or things that you've maybe learned about in school years and years ago and you forget, and you think that these things that you learned about in school don't affect how society is now, and then you realize it still affects things now. And I try my hardest to be not an ignorant person, but I think this book was a wonderful wake-up call, reminder, and it's just so freaking good, and it comes out of a place of love, and I just felt that the entire time I was reading it. It was coming from a place of love, and I'm just so thankful for it. Like, I almost have tears in my eyes because it was just so, so powerful and so welcoming, and I just think it is such a gift that Emmanuel put this out into the world. So if you're going to read any of the books that I suggest, read this one. Okay, Next book I read was a memoir. I read a lot of memoirs. It's kind of one of my favorite genres. It was called Dancing with the Octopus by Deborah Harding. This was interesting because it popped up because I, as a recommendation, because I read a lot of true crime kind of based memoirs, or I've read memoirs of people who've been kidnapped or escaped a cult or things like that. And then this book came up. Or popped up on Amazon as something that I would enjoy. So I looked at it. It said it's kind of a true crime memoir. So it's kind of a true crime memoir, but also kind of not. It was an odd memoir. So a traumatic event happened to the writer, Deborah, while she was young. I think she was in middle school. And she was kidnapped and basically left for dead, which is terrible. Content warning, too late, sorry. So it goes back and forth between the past and then while she's growing up and going to college. And a major focus of the story is her relationship with her father and her mother. And it was a pretty unhealthy relationship. And I just would not really describe this as a true crime book because the flashbacks to the incident are about true crime, but the rest of the book is more about memoir and family relations. And it was good. This one was just a tough one to talk about because memoirs are a tough thing to really rate because reading them affects everybody differently and it is somebody's life, so you can't really critique it. You can critique the writing of it, the style of it, but it was somebody's life. They can't change the story. And so this was an interesting one if you want to read about family dynamics with a little bit of true crime sprinkled in. If that sounds right up your alley, I think this is a good read. It was just a little different in the way that it was written and the way that it flashed back and forth. I really ended up connecting with the reader in certain aspects of it, with these kind of family dynamics, but it was just, it was not what the, you know, the back of the book kind of, or the even the front or the headline kind of advertises it as. It was a lot about family and I love memoirs, so I liked it. But if you're not really a memoir person, you're like, oh, maybe I'm like a true crime person, I'll dip my toe in. This is a lot more memoir style than crime thriller. But I really did enjoy learning about Deborah's life kind of from childhood up into her adulthood and how these relationships developed. The next one I won't spend too long talking about because I did do a podcast episode about it. The Year of Yes by Shonda Rhimes. Shonda Rhimes is the creator of Grey's Anatomy, How to Get Away with Murder, Bridgerton, Scandal, big one. So she is a TV writer and she wrote a book and this is kind of self-help memoir-y. Can you see a pattern? These are things that I really enjoy. And also I love Grey's Anatomy and I absolutely enjoyed this book thoroughly. So as a Grey's Anatomy fan, I enjoyed it. As somebody who likes self-help, I enjoyed it. As somebody who enjoys memoirs, I enjoyed it. So if you like all of those things, you'll probably like this book. And Christina Yang from Grey's Anatomy is one of my favorite characters of all time. There is a lot of explanation about Christina Yang and her powerful feminine character. I am just obsessed with her, and there's a lot about writing about her and creating that character from Shonda and the inside scoop on that. And the whole idea of the book is saying yes to things for an entire year and making that lifestyle change, and it's just a wonderful self-help book. This was probably my favorite self-help book I've read so far this year, or personal development, whatever you want to call it. Because it was real, it was tangible, she actually did it, it was evidence-based, like it was her experience and not just kind of advice that just is the typical self-help kind of advice. This was her real story and talking about her struggles and her joys while doing this practice of saying yes for a year. Okay, the next one was another memoir. As you guys can tell, I really like memoirs. This one was really, 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 really good. As somebody who reads so many memoirs, I like it when they're just a little bit different. I don't read biographies, really. I read memoirs because they all come from a different place. They're all kind of telling you a different message. It's not just telling you, when I was born, this happened, and then this happened when I was five. And it's like traumatic life experiences or just important life experiences that have an impact. I wouldn't say they all have to be traumatic, but important. So Group is a book by Christy Tate. It's a memoir talking about her therapy group. I am just obsessed with this book. It was so good. Oh my gosh. Like, I'm just excited to even talk about it because I really enjoyed it so much. It was one of those books when I was reading it, I just wanted to have somebody else to talk to about it because this is why I want to do this book podcast, because I want people to be able to talk about these books like a book club, but not, no pressure. Like, if you've read this book and you want to hear somebody else's thoughts or you want to discuss it, like, that's why we're doing this. So Group is about Christy and her experience of years of group therapy, and group therapy sounds awesome. Like, I have never been one for therapy for me. I think it's great for other people. I know that's what everybody says, right? Like, but not for me. But this book made me want to go to group therapy. It sounds so interesting. And having this intimate group of people talk about anything in the world. And her therapist seems like the most interesting man, such a wise man, an intelligent man. And the way that he does things is just not, I don't know, I've never been in group therapy, but it seems out of the norm because there's no secrets, and he says people can tell, you can tell any, if I say a secret in this group therapy, anyone who's in the group therapy can talk about it to anyone. And it's really a message of just being open and being honest, really, is what I kept taking away from it. Because why do you have to tell somebody a secret? Like, if it's the truth, or if it happened, or if it's how you feel, then why is it a secret? And it goes through her beginning this group therapy, and then she starts going to two groups in a week, and then I think there was three groups in a week at some point, and it's all with the same therapist, and there's some overlap in the groups. And at the beginning, she was just depressed and unhappy with her life, and it is a struggle to get, I wouldn't say get better, because there's nothing wrong, but it was a struggle to completely just keep pushing and into being her full self. Like, this is what the personal development books are trying to get to. They're trying to get you to push through and be your full self. Like, this is what Glennon in Untamed wanted, but like, this book just delivered the message in a completely different way, and it was so much more effective for me to get the picture of, like, you just gotta, like, be truthful and be yourself. And if somebody doesn't like that, or if you're uncomfortable with being yourself, like, that's your problem. Like, you need to work on that. Oh my gosh, it was so good. Group by Christy Tate. Read it. The next one was, this is a fun one. So I am very excited for the movie Dear Evan Hansen to come out. This movie is based off of the Broadway musical with Ben Platt. And I have wanted to see this musical. I've never seen it in real life. So I've never seen it on YouTube or the internet either, but I've never seen this musical, but I want to. I also saw the Dear Evan Hansen novel being recommended on Pinterest and TikTok, people saying that it was an emotional book, and people who enjoy those emotional books, like books that'll rip your heart out, will like this novel. So I went on to the library to get the novel, and then I got what I thought was the novel, and I open it up, and I see, oh, this is like the script, like the screenplay almost. I don't know if you can call it a screenplay when it wasn't on the screen. What a musical, I guess just a script, but it was stage directions and all of that. And I used to love reading stuff like that. I would love reading things in the style of a script and like the stage directions and all that stuff. I think a lot of people who were young and were like, oh, I'm going to be an actress someday, like doing that. I really enjoyed this, especially since I want to see the musical. I wanted to kind of get the effect of what the musical was more so than the novel. So I didn't read the novel. I read the script. And so it was really quick to get through. What I ended up doing was listening or reading it, and then I would stop at where it would show a musical number, and I would listen to the soundtrack on my phone, and that was just a really cool reading experience. I want to talk about more about like the experience of reading it, probably more than even the plot, because it's a book about high schoolers who are affected by a suicide, and it is a powerful book. Hearing about just I just would love to see the musical in real life now. That's just what I want so much. The plot is good. It's interesting. It's about connections in high school. Reading kind of that younger age group is also usually a quicker read, but it was good, and it was fun to read a book like that. So I would just, my takeaway from reading this book, more so than anything to do with the actual characters or the plot or the message of the book, was to tell you guys to read a book that's a script for a screenplay or something, like a play that you like, a movie even. It's fun. So, and that can count too. That counts as reading. Then I read, oh my God, this next book. Okay. I read A Twisted Faith by Greg Olson. If you've listened to my previous book podcast, you know I love Greg Olson. This book caught my eye because it was about a shady church located on Bainbridge Island. Like, Bainbridge Island, Poulsbo area was where this story took place. And it has to do with murder and church, and it's local to where I live in the Pacific Northwest. So I'm like, and it's a true story. So I'm like, oh, I need to read this. It moved a lot slower than other Greg Olson books that I've read. It's another one that he wrote a while ago. It's not one of his newer books. So honestly, I can kind of tell. I've read a couple of his older books now and a lot of his newer books, and his newer books just move so much faster. But if you want to read about Pacific Northwest true crime, you got to read this one, because it is literally just over there in Poulsbo and Bainbridge Island, and it's talking about this church and murder and drama. It's a lot of drama, just small town drama, but there's murder in there, so it's crazy. But it is a little bit slower moving, so I just wanted to recommend that one for people who like the true crime, and especially Pacific Northwest true crime, because this is a true story, and it happened a while ago, but it's still interesting. Greg Olson, just fabulous. Read any of Greg Olson's books and you'll get hooked on him. And then the last book that I read in this quarter was a young adult book by John Green, who's a very popular young adult writer. He wrote Looking for Alaska. He wrote The Fault in Our Stars, which I haven't read yet. And the one book that I have read by him before was Paper Towns, and I did enjoy it very much. This book was called Turtles All the Way Down, and it's written from the perspective of a high school girl who, it doesn't explicitly say that she has OCD, but she has something similar to OCD, or she has OCD, and she's, very obsessed in her mind with microbiology and germs, and that really scares her. While I was reading it, I did not realize that the book was very focused on mental health or mental illness or anything like that, but a lot of the reviews talk about it being very focused on that, and maybe it was just because it was the author's perspective. or the narrator's perspective, I should say, that I didn't really even think, like, it was a piece of the character, but it wasn't the plot at all, had nothing to do with that. So the plot is kind of like a lot of books that you read about high schoolers who, these ones were trying to find a man on the run because they were looking for a reward for some riches. So it kind of reminds me of if you watch The Outer Banks and they're looking for treasure, or Goonies, and that's treasure. And it kind of goes along that line too, of like these young people looking for something. But there's also a little bit of like a high school crush romance in there, as with most young adult novels. But it was good. It was a quicker read for me because it is a young adult book. But I don't know if I understand the obsession with this author. Some people are just obsessed with him. I think I need to read The Fault in Our Stars, which is about, I think, two high schoolers who have cancer. I haven't read the book. I haven't watched the movie yet. I know it was immensely popular, so maybe that's why people are really obsessed with him. But I enjoyed the other book I read by him, Paper Towns, more than I enjoyed this one. So though I feel like this group of books that I read was semi anticlimactic for a book recap podcast, because I really, really loved reading A Little Life, and I'm proud of myself for reading that 700-page book, and I feel changed after reading that book. I really enjoyed Year of Yes by Shonda, and I felt like it was an amazing self-help memoir. And I also felt very affected by Group, and that was just a fantastic book. And then Dear Evan Hansen was really fun, but a lot of the other books were just kind of, they're on the list. I finished them all. I almost always finish all the books I start reading, though. But some of them were really not anticlimactic, just meh. They're good, but not great. Good, but not amazing. Fine, but not fantastic. And then Uncomfortable Conversation with a Black Man was just so good. Just so, so, so good. So those were the 10 books with a super, super quick little recap there at the end. And then, so coming soon will be these quicker episodes. I don't need to do these giant recaps anymore. If I just do every once in a while, I finished this book, here are my raw thoughts on it, here are my big takeaways from it, why did I read this, who is this a good book for? Like, I'm just really excited to get into that. So coming soon, Pish Posh Pages, short podcast episodes. I also enjoy listening to short form podcasts. It's kind of nice to just have one that's 10 to 15 minutes long instead of the hour long or the Joe Rogan 4-hour long episodes. So I hope you guys maybe found a new book that you might want to read. A Little Life, Uncomfortable Conversation with the Black Man, Year of Yes, Group, Dear Evan Hansen, or maybe you want to read Untamed, or you have read Untamed and you want to argue with me about it. I'd love to hear more people's perspective on this one. And then maybe you've read Turtles All the Way Down, or you want to. Maybe you want to talk about True Crime, A Twisted Faith, or want to talk about any of Greg Olson's other books, because I've read almost all of them now. I have just almost read them all, so I'm kind of excited about that. And then coming soon, I have some stuff on the docket to talk about for these shorter episodes. So two books that I read after the conclusion of quarter two, so after the end of June, I already read We Should All Be Millionaires by Rachel Rogers. Fantastic book. Can't wait to talk about that one. And The Mother-in-Law by Sally Hepworth. Awesome, awesome book. Read in 2 days, just devoured that. So I am excited to keep going with this book talk, but have its own spot. And I know this one was a little bit of a downer, and I know I read a lot of dark books, but I know other people love dark books too, or just want book recommendations, or want to hear what people's thoughts are on books, because I love it. So I know there's more people out there like me. So I will have all links to all the books in the show notes, and I hope you enjoyed it. And go follow at Pish Posh Pages on Instagram if you want to hear more of this stuff, and stay tuned for more episodes coming soon too. Mini ones, short ones, it'll be fun. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you join us over at Pish Posh Pages, and party on. Thank you for listening to this episode of Pish Posh with Lindsay Wilson. I am so glad you joined us. Make sure you're subscribed on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen to podcasts. Then make sure you're following us on Instagram at Pish Posh Pod. Then, if you want even more, you can join us at patreon.com/pishposhpod. There are bonus episodes there and journaling prompts for you to use whenever you want. So check all that out. We'll see you next week. Party on.